What's up?
What's going on, Tracy?
How's it going?
I'm doing good. This is episode 3.
Episode 3.
I know. We like took a little hiatus.
We did.
Because right? The holiday break.
Holiday
now
break.
We and are back.
Back together time.
That's right.
How was your holiday?
It was good. It was average. It was expected.
Good. So average and expected is good.
Yeah. No surprises.
No Christmas surprise.
Unlike this movie.
I guess we should say the name of the podcast too. One Final Scare.
Yeah, One Final Scare. We have to change the name, right?
Welcome to No one will now know that we changed it.
It's fine. It's fine. It happens.
We had to change it because everything existed in the world of podcasts. So we finally found something that we liked.
It's, I think, one of the hardest things I had to do in my life.
And ever.
To come up with a name that wasn't taken.
And how many names did we email, or I'm sorry, text message each other. And then we would just be silent every time one of us would text an idea, which means we both hated each other's ideas.
Not hated, but...
It was like, either that or we both wanted to like win.
It's close, but... Or, yeah.
I think, did you want to win? You wanted, like, your...
I gave up, remember? I was like, I don't care. At number 90, yeah. I was like, okay, just, I don't know.
Well, when you kept going back to ones that you had in, like, the, I don't know, like weeks ago, I just started zoning out.
Yeah.
But we love this new name. And
love it.
I like this
strong
name.
Word.
One Final Scare. This is, I love it. I'm going to. You know what? It's average, and it's expected.
It's gonna grow on me. I'm sure.
Okay, good. So your holiday was nice. It was good. It was average. It's good.
Yeah, I mean, how was yours? Was yours like mind blowing?
No, my husband and I hosted his entire family and. You know, that's like a all-day event prep leading up to it, an all-day of the party, and then an all-day after cleaning. So I could probably do without that again.
So it was below average.
It was nice, I suppose. It's good to get family together, but, you know.
You going to share this with them, this episode?
Yeah. Hey, fam. Someone else needs to host next year, bitches. anything scary happened to you recently?
No. Scary?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Tell me.
I had vertigo the other day.
Ooh.
I had a case of vertigo.
You're getting old, my friend.
Yeah, I was driving home and started getting dizzy.
You were driving when this happened? Oh, shit.
I went to work out and I changed and I was getting a little lightheaded there. I was like, oh, maybe I should go home and eat, whatever. I got in the car and I couldn't even keep my eyes fully open. They're already narrow and slanty. And like, and I couldn't keep them fully open. And I was like, and I wanted to just throw up, like being nauseous.
That's horrible.
Came home, parked my car, opened the door and threw up. Like, well, nothing came, but like just spit came out, but like a dry heave. Right?
Okay.
And I couldn't stand them. On both my feet.
Oh my gosh!
Got my book bag, came upstairs, dropped everything, turned off all the lights because I could just tell the light was just like killing me.
Uh huh.
And I was in a fetal position on the floor in my bedroom for like 5 hours.
Wait, so how do you know this was not just like a migraine?
I've had it before.
Oh, so you get vertigo.
Because I didn't have like a headache.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like I closed my eyes and like. It was dizzy. Like I felt like I was spinning.
Mm.
And I was lightheaded. And there's nothing. And there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
With vertigo, you just let it run its course.
Yeah.
And this wasn't as bad as I had it last time, like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't. But I don't know what triggers it.
Hmm.
Like I don't. You know, it's just like whatever I ate, dehydration. You look it up, and there's like 20 different things.
Yeah.
It's like stress.
It's just living.
Dehydration.
Just living.
Yeah. Like it's like, oh, okay. It could be like anything.
That's
so
terrible.
Yeah. It was insane. And like I still feel a little. If I move my head like too quickly.
Yeah.
I feel lightheaded.
Ugh.
Yeah. So it's like I'm like.
Well, I'm glad you're here and able to do this.
Yeah.
I'm alive.
Yeah, 2016 has been
rough. Like rough.
Taking people down.
Yeah.
And so, like, it almost took me down.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. Well, I'm glad that we're both here and alive, and hopefully we can continue to both be alive so that we can continue this podcast and keep watching scary movies.
Yeah.
So which one do we watch this time?
Well, we watched Body.
Body. Just One Body.
What's that song that's like movie body? I don't even know. You know what? Forget it. I can't. It's all from the 90s. It's like, it's all like.
Sing Let the Bodies Hit the Floor. How about that? Oh.
So.
What year?
2015. Yeah. So we picked this time on Shudder. We have to mention it every time.
I'm pretty sure, like, we're going to watch every movie that is on Shudder, and then we'll, like, have to go back and start watching, I don't know, some of our old DVDs and shit. Well, actually, no. So far, all we've been doing is watching movies neither of us have seen. But maybe we'll get into a point where, like, I want you to see something that you haven't seen, that I've seen, or whatever. Or maybe we rewatch something that we both love. Haven't figured that out yet. But so far, I like watching something neither of us have seen. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Even if they suck.
Yeah. Like Body.
Like Body.
I don't even like the title. It's awkward saying it.
Well, okay, so we picked it, if I remember correctly, at the end of, after we recorded episode 2, we picked it because, one, I know the movie art was like a Saul Bass poster, which I appreciated. And being graphic designers, we like the Saul Bass style. And then
at a glance, it looks like that, but
it looks cool. Oh, no?
Close examination, it's like, eh.
Is it lame?
It's like, eh.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then when we read the plot line, it said that it all takes place on Christmas Eve. So being around the holiday season, we decided to watch it. So had nothing really to do with Christmas Eve, though. Let's be honest. It was just a night, but
yeah, it could. Yeah, it's pretty thin.
Mm-hmm.
On its premise.
Yeah. Good news is, though, there's no flashbacks, so we won't get confused while we retell this story here.
There's this story is so simple. Yeah, that you can't mess. I mean, you can't get confused telling it. It's I was very surprised.
You can get confused on how it got made.
Well, it seemed like these guys are sort of industry, quote unquote, veterans. Like, uh-huh. They work as producers and directors in Hollywood. Uh-huh. So, you know, I'm sure they were like, hey, you know, let's make a horror movie. We always talked about doing a horror movie together. Let's make one.
I mean, there was some redeeming qualities, but overall
it looked nice.
It did.
Like, technically, like, I was very surprised. I was like, wow, this looks like sharp.
Yep.
Like, it was shot by, you know, obviously someone who knows their way around a camera.
Sure.
Yeah, it was, but besides that.
Yeah. It could have been a short film.
Yeah.
Right?
It should have been a short film.
So let's start with a rundown of main characters, shall we?
Sure. There's Holly.
Holly.
As
perfect of a name that you could have picked for a movie that takes place on Christmas Eve. Am I right?
Yeah.
Let's smack you in the face.
I'm not
with
sure
it.
If, yeah.
Well, that was obvious.
You think so?
Uh-huh. Definitely. Okay. Holly, come on. Christmas Eve. That was a whole thing. All right. So Holly, I'd say she's... Is she the main girl? Is she the main girl? I mean, there's three main girls.
There's three main girls. No, she's not the main girl. They all have their different.
Okay, so let's keep going. So Mel. Yeah.
Mel.
She's definitely the most side character, right?
Yeah, and she's a smart one.
She is. Yeah. And then there's Callie.
The mean girl.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of touched base on what their character attributes, shall I say. So the mean girl Callie, she's also the most voluptuous, the most hot, she's got all her makeup done.
Your stereotypical, the leader of the pack.
The leader of the pack.
Type girl, blonde. She was like so much more prettier than the other two.
Yeah, on purpose.
Yeah, and it was at times distracting.
Uh-huh,
like,
agree.
How are they even friends? What?
That's me. And then Holly. what is her character? What is her quality or characteristic? I kind of just don't care about her. That's kind of how I felt the whole movie. But
yeah, well, that's just the writing of the whole movie.
Yeah,
that's...
she was just like a nice all around girl, I guess. And then Mel was kind of the quiet girl who I think she said she went to law school.
Mel isn't the quiet one. Oh. Holly is the quiet one. She was a quiet, shy one. She didn't even want to. We'll get into it.
Yeah,
you remember? She didn't even want to go out.
Yeah. All right, so those are the three main characters. We'll introduce a couple small side characters as we go, but as we name them throughout, you know, just keep track. Just keep track with us as we retell you this real fun movie. Yeah. So it starts on, actually, not Christmas Eve. It's Christmas Eve Eve.
Yeah. It's Christmas
for whatever
Eve
reason.
Eve in New York, upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
It's snowing. It's and we open I guess the basement of Mel's family home.
It's one of those rooms that all y'all have been in before with like the wood paneling.
Yeah, and it's like it feels like they came back home from college break, right?
Something like that. Yeah, and they were all hanging out, and there's Mel's, I think they're at Mel's house, right?
They're playing Scrabble.
Yeah. And Mel's younger brother is
on his phone, like just quiet.
Not even a part of the movie, pretty much. I don't even know why he was in it.
I couldn't believe that he was like the young. They could have gotten someone who's younger.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I thought he was like older than all of them. And he was like the younger brother.
I know.
And I was like, what the heck? This is a grown man.
Yeah. So they're playing Scrabble, and the hot chick, Callie, the leader of the pack, we realize like she's kind of an idiot. I don't know if she's the one that lays
insanely
down.
Insanely idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, this is insane.
Was she the one that spelled out Satan, though?
And she thought it was Satan.
So she starts talking about Satan. And then Mel calls her out, I think, and she's like, hey, idiot, it's Satan, not Satan.
But again, like, I think this is all like the fault of the writer.
Yes. And was she trying to make like some comparison, like Satan's the opposite of God and it's Christmas? Is that like, was that?
Well, she spells Satan, and then she says something about like Satan being the opposite of Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus' birthday is like whatever.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
So they're trying to tie in like the Christmas story, but whatever. And I think they're trying to kind of foreshadow a little bit with her side of her. Who knows? Like a little wild side. Right.
They're trying to build character.
She's an idiot, and she wants to talk about Satan. I don't know. This is not a cult movie,
by the way. And she flirts with everyone, right? She flirts with
the brother.
Mel's sister. Brother. Mm-hmm. And the father. Who comes by to interrupt them.
To give them food.
Mm-hmm.
And has sunglasses on at night.
At night.
Which the only thing that went through my mind was, oh, this guy's like such a random dude that they hired as an actor that he's like so concerned with the fact that he's going to come off as a bad actor that he's going to cover up his eyes. Like that was literally what was going through my head the whole time.
The only reason at the time when I was watching this, I gave it up. I was like, what is this guy doing? And I thought they were going to go back to him.
And they like definitely name him later, and they ask, like, or they say like, oh, and your dad with his sunglasses on all the time. And I just died. I was like, why are they going to call it out again?
I just don't get it.
I know.
There's a lot of things like the Scrabble being...
Let's keep going. Okay. All right. So they're playing Scrabble, and it's the dad comes out, gives them some food. They talk some shit, you know, and he goes away. He's a cool dad, right?
Yeah, banter.
And then the three girls are like, let's go outside and smoke some weed. So the three of them go outside, they light up, and the younger brother comes outside, and they're getting high, and they pass it to the younger brother, and all of a sudden, like, a mom comes out of nowhere, and she's all, like, disheveled, and...
Are you smoking weed out here with your younger brother?
Oh, my God, are you... Don't you girls get your younger brother high? And that's why I was like, what? That was when I was like, is he really that much younger, though? He looked the same age.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just like, okay, these three girls like to have fun together. They're having a nice time. And basically, they get to a point where they're like... Oh, we should do something.
Well, before that, not Mel, but Holly gets a phone call. Remember?
Okay.
Her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Calls her. This is the real part. Her boyfriend calls her, and you know and you realize, oh, Holly has a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking on the phone. I miss you. You know, blah blah blah. And then she goes, yeah, like I'm at my friend Mel's family's home and they're Jewish, but they love Christmas. So they're like celebrating Christmas. Do you remember that? And no. I went, why does it matter that they're Jewish?
Oh my God, it's so weird.
Unless they're going to come back to that again.
Like, yeah, they did.
Just another layer of things like they were like peppering into the
story. They were trying to make it like just real life. Who knows?
Yeah.
But you're right. And so they just chatted a little bit. And his name's Ben. He calls later in the story. But for now, that was just a short, quick phone call, right? And the two girls are like, nah. And so the three of them are like, let's do something fun tonight. And I think Mel and Holly both go, let's just stay in. And Callie, the crazy one with all the makeup on and the boobs showing, and, you know, she's like, no, we have 10 years to worry about our jobs, and we have 10 years to worry about, you know, life. I was like, really? You guys got 10 years before you guys start worrying about that?
Oh.
I was like, when I was your age.
Did you notice that she goes into this sort of exposition, like, about their lives or like, every time? Like, and I'll bring it up another point, like, later on in the plot. But, and I was like, she's obviously speaking. I mean, the writer's obviously speaking through the character as he's writing this. Like, he believes, right? It's a guy, right? Yeah. Believes. Like, you know, these things that he's like sort of typing into the character's voice. And I was just like, how old is this guy?
Yeah.
Like, he must be.
Well,
like,
first of all, like, if Mel's already in law school, I mean, sure, you can go out and have some fun, but it was just so like overt. Yeah. Like, we got to go and have this crazy time.
Yeah.
And so they leave and they're driving down the road. And they're high as a kite. I mean, at one point they're like, oh, we're wasted though. And should we really be driving? And I forget. She was just like, we're fine. We're good. So driving down some dark ass road and they're going to, I think at some point I was so bored already that I was like, where are they going? Oh, surprise. Their crazy night out is ending up at some mansion, some like, you know, huge house that they're going to go and kind of party in, just the three of them. I was like, that's what you guys call a night out? You're just going to another house to do the same thing you were just doing at your house?
Yeah. Well, the other two didn't know where they were going. But they made it sound like
she said we're going to this huge mansion, my uncle's out of town, blah blah blah.
And I thought they were going to a party.
I did too.
And they anyway, so while they're on the way to this mansion,
Ben calls again.
Right.
And every girl knows what it's like when your boyfriend wants to come and hang out, but your girls don't want him to come along. And so Holly goes, oh, sure, let me ask. And she's like, well, hey, first, do you guys mind if Ben comes to this mansion tonight?
And Callie just roasts her. Like,
after she hangs up the phone.
Well, not even that. Even before, when like the phone rings?
Uh-huh.
And I made a note. I was like, she's jealous.
Yeah.
Right? She's like jealous of Holly's sort of situation.
Right.
I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Like, and I didn't think it was, I was like, this movie is not going to get that deep. Like,
no, you know, but there's definitely.
And that's what I was sort of thinking.
Like, I mean, there's definitely a real thing. Like when you're in your 20s and your girlfriends do not want you to be dating if they're not dating.
Right.
Like that is a real honest thing.
Yeah.
So like that didn't feel weird to me. But anyway, so Holly invites her boyfriend along because she, while she's on the phone with him, goes, girls, is it okay if Ben comes tonight? And they both go, sure. And then she hangs up the phone and they start ripping her a new one. And she's like, what's the big deal? You said okay. And she's like, what were we supposed to say while you're on the phone with them? This is supposed to be a girls' night. So they end up at this mansion. They pull in.
No.
Oh, right. What the fuck? I forgot about. Okay, go ahead.
So as they're driving to this house, they see a man with a broken down car. And
always a broken down car.
Yeah, and so like, okay, something's about to happen.
With the flares.
Yeah, and in Callie, she slows down.
Mm-hmm.
And she like looks like she's about to pull over and say something. Uh-huh. And then the girls freak out. They're like, go drive. And she's like, and she, you know, she drives past them.
I was like, is this like a demented Santa Claus? Like, that's what I thought. Because he had like a long beard. Yeah, he looked like a homeless man.
Yeah, he looks like a homeless man. And we find out that
doesn't happen. Nothing.
Nothing to the movie.
Oh my God! What?
No. So anyway, so
the movie would have been better if they had done literally anything else with that man. Like, just anything else.
She's like, well, he could have been my future husband. Now I'm never going to meet him. Da, da, da.
You know, there's a thing in horror movies where there's always
15?
Like... 15? No. There's a thing in horror movies where there's always like a, what do you want to call him? Like a soothsayer or a, you know what I'm talking, like an oracle. Like, there's an old crazy person in so many movies where it's like, don't go down that road, you know, you're gonna die. No. And I'm like, all they had to do was have him say one little word, like while they were driving away laughing, like they were, you know, after they were fucking with him. But they didn't even use it in the true horror fashion to use him as like a, you know, a guy that points out the obvious that something lies ahead that's bad.
It was just really bad misdirect that was supposed to create tension, and that's all it was.
Yeah.
And it meant nothing to the story.
Failed.
Yeah.
All right, so
they
now
this big house.
Now can we get to the house?
Yeah. They pull up to this house.
And there's two cars out front.
I was going to say that too. There's two cars out front.
And so I was like, oh it's a party. And then they both said something like, I thought you said they were out of town. And so then I was like, wait, I'm totally not paying. I thought too. That's funny that we both thought that they were going to a party. Yeah. No, because then the two girls were like, I thought you said they were out of town. She's like, they have a million cars. Don't worry about it. They are out of town. This is Callie saying this. And so I was like, hold up, whose house are they at? And so we walk in the mansion after she finds a hidden key, and they get into the mansion. They start walking in, and she's like, here we are, ladies, like in the kitchen. And, you know, she immediately pulls out a bottle of liquor or something. And she's like, yeah, this is my uncle's house. And I was like, okay, it's an uncle's house. They're out of town. I get it. And I was like, dude, I wish I had an uncle with a fucking McMansion like this, right? And so she's showing him around. She's all like bragging. She's like, wait till you see this, you know? And she takes him to the garage where there's like some other bomb ass cars. And
there was like Ferraris. And,
yeah.
You know, yeah.
Like amazing cars. And they were like, have you ever driven one of these cars?
This is the part I'm talking about.
This part killed me.
She goes, what did she say? She's like, yes, it's like having sex.
It's
or something like
having sex. And you're driving in the car, and the car's vibrating, and you hit 90 miles per hour. And I was like, I literally wrote three notes down. I wrote this down. Cars, Cali, compares to sex, random. Like, who the... And the girls are like, the two, you know, Mel and Holly are like leaning all over a car and like rubbing it with their faces. And I was like, have y'all never seen a nice car before in your life?
But that's what I'm talking about. Like, who... would have wrote this, you know,
yes.
A guy writing this, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and,
totally.
Talking
to... Oh, God, you're so right.
Yeah, and I was like, okay. And I went, when that dialogue was so corny, I was like, okay, there's got to be some, like, joke. They're going to make fun of her, right? And they're going to point out the fact...
No,
like,
they were all
they
up were. In it.
It was all
they
serious.
Were all up
I was
in
like,
it.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
This is so corny.
Yeah.
I was like...
And so she's like, come on, let's go for a ride. And they were like, no, we don't want to wreck this car. We're wasted. And she goes, I'm not talking about this. And then the scene cuts and they're like having a joyride on a golf cart or some shit. And they're screaming and having a good time. And for a moment, I was like, yeah, I've had those nights. It's fun. It's fun. Like, okay, it's not at a party or just having like random fun times with your girlfriends, right? And then they end up like on the side of a pool or something and they're singing Christmas songs and they're having a good time.
Well, right before, I just want to mention one thing. When they get to the house, they get to the kitchen. And you remember they look into the living room. They also have the exact same Scrabble game. And it's on the coffee table.
And she said and something like, Scrabble followed us.
Yes, Scrabble. Yeah. And I was like, okay, that was a good line. Yeah, that was a good line. I was like, okay, that's funny. I wonder if they're going to like... if it's going to play a main role. Yeah,
well, it kind of did.
It kind of does.
All right. So they're having their fun. You know, it's like one thing to the next. They're jumping around. And now they're back inside the house. And Callie's got her phone. And she's like recording Holly dancing like a wild maniac in the living room. And they're just having like a blast, right? And they're getting way drunker.
A montage, right?
Yeah. And now they're all kind of like separate.
That was cute though.
And it was cute. Yeah. It was fun. And now they're jumping around the house like on their own and they're exploring. And all like I think
Holly.
Yeah, Holly kind of split away because Callie and Mel are downstairs in the like arcade pool room and they're playing like that, you know, arcade game. And there was another kind of what do you want to call it? foreshadowing line when the three of them are still all together right before Holly walks away. Callie's shooting the rifle game. She's like, it's that buck hunter game or whatever it is. And she's shooting and she's getting all of them. And then Holly tries and messes up on her first shot. And Callie says to her, you a lover, not a fighter. And then she's like, whatever, I'm going to go check out the house. And so she starts walking around. And then Mel comes up and she's like, I'm both. And then the two of them are laughing and playing the gun game. And so Holly's walking around the house. And this is the other note that I wrote down. That Holly starts to see pictures on the wall of the people, the owners, right? Yeah. And I was dying. I was dying that they had to pick an Asian family. Because I was like, they have to make it like so obvious that this is not Callie's family, right? I was like, it couldn't just be like, you know,
but another white family, because
then the audience wouldn't know that this is some random, you know, that was or wasn't her uncle.
See, Holly had to see photos to be like, oh, if they were in the kitchen first, right?
Yeah.
You know, that would have been like chopsticks everywhere, like soy sauce, rice cooker, like... And they would have been like, this isn't your house. You don't have an Asian uncle.
Right, right. So anyway, they let it go for a while. And Holly just like kind of sees this one picture. And she doesn't really think too much about it. And then it cuts and she's like peeing on a toilet.
My favorite scene.
And you said it was your favorite scene. And I was like, duh. Wait, that's without context. That just sounds like you're into...
Maybe I am.
Women peeing. No, I'm not. It's just like a side shot, so you can see like her butt, and she's just sitting there like looking around and thinking as she's peeing.
Huge bathroom.
Yeah, it's a big bathroom. Yeah. And then she goes and she's like jumping on some bed and she's rolling around, and when she rolls around she sees more family photos, and that's when she's like, there's a lot of Asian kids in these pictures, and if it's just an uncle, what's going on?
Yeah.
So then she comes downstairs back to where Mel and Callie are, and she's like,
yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right.
And she goes, and I remember this scene made me feel like the acting just sucked. It was just like not a normal chain of events, the way that they all reacted when Holly comes down and goes, Callie, like, why are there pictures of Asian people all over the house? And she's like, my uncle was adopted, you know, and all this stuff. And then Mel immediately just goes, what's really going on? Like, that's, it's like she didn't even see
so
it.
Horrible.
And then Callie goes, all right, girls, the jig is up. So
who talks like that?
They're right. That's what I'm saying. I was like, okay, none of this
bros.
Is real.
Bros.
Right, bros. All right, the jig is up, bruh.
I feel so sorry for her, the actress, that she had to deliver these lines.
I know, those lines, they were bad. So they all kind of talk it out, and they're like, all right, look, I used to babysit for this family. They're rich as shit. It doesn't matter. They always go out of town every Christmas for 2 weeks. Like, they're not going to know. Well, they'll never, ever know. And meanwhile, a car is driving up and parking at this moment, this very moment in time, of course. And then they hear the door open and they're like, dun, 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 who's that? And there's a guy. And this guy starts yelling, who's in here? What's going on?
At this point, they were back upstairs, right?
I don't know, but they were.
They had to be.
Oh, yeah, they did have to be. Oh, but I wonder if they really were.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. So they were upstairs, and they were like, oh, go hide. And Callie's like, oh, like, I got y'all fucked now. Like, whoopsie. So she's like, go hide. And the girls are like, are you kidding me? So the three of them go hide behind a bed, and they hear this guy kind of getting a little bit closer, and they're like, what are we supposed to do? And she's just like, let's make a run for it. So they run. And
went right into him.
They run right into him at the top of the steps. And Callie starts making her way down the steps, I think, kind of pushes past him.
Callie, she's the first one to run by him.
Run. And then he's like, what's going on? Who are you? What's going on?
Grabs Holly. No, Mel.
And Mel. They're both standing there. And I think Holly basically is the person that pushes hard enough that he falls down the steps, of course. Yeah. And so hence the poster of the movie with a body laying at the end of a stairwell with three chicks at the top of it. So herein lies a movie about something that has happened and how you want to cover it up so you don't get in trouble. And you've seen this quite a few times. And this one is probably
One of the worst ones.
Yeah. It's like so, it's so like unbelievable.
So this is where it starts to even get worse, right?
Yeah.
I know like we were sort of making fun of this movie up until this point. And it even gets ridiculous for me at this point.
Yeah.
Because now for me, it sort of doesn't care what the viewers. Yeah, so we watch these movies, and I understand like a lot of horror films, you know, they can be ridiculous, and mm-hmm. you know, it could be supernatural, whatever. But to a certain point, you have to respect like certain logic, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, but these girls do so many ridiculous decisions.
I mean, that's definitely part of the movie, but I guess for me,
I just couldn't buy it.
They like their characters. I think it's like I said to you earlier, like the movie's trying to develop these characters in some way, and I think trying to make you, do they even try to make you care about them at all? I mean, I don't care about any of them.
No,
I don't care about any of them.
I mean, maybe Holly, actually, you
but
know
why I don't I like,
because she was, you know, she was like this, she didn't want to go out, and she was like this goody. If anyone, like, that she was supposed to be the one that we're so sort of care for, right? Because at the end she gets,
well, don't,
I mean, I'm just saying, like, at the end she gets sort of isolated, like.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Like, so anyway, he falls down the bottom of the steps and
dies.
He dies.
Well,
we think. Yeah. And the three girls start panicking, and they're like, oh shit.
What are we supposed to do? We just found out
that you made us break into this house, Callie. And Callie's like, look, we need to go. We just need to go. Or no, somebody's like, let's just go. And Callie's like, we can't just go. Callie's like, we cannot just go because our fingerprints are all over this house now. And we're going to get in trouble for that. So instead of getting in trouble for that, we have to make up this whole big story. And
that's,
she's sitting there like,
insane.
Right. No, I know. Yeah. Look, so here's the thing. While I'm watching this, I love movies that poses a question about what humans would do in certain situations, in dire straits. Like, what would people do? That's why, you know, I don't know. So this to me is not, it's not totally implausible that somebody would try to think up a story to cover up them, you know, from getting in trouble for something.
Sure. Like when you put it in a vague thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but where
totally
she ended
sense.
Up was just like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right?
But specific things that they wanted to do.
Yes.
To cover it up.
So let's get into it.
Ridiculous.
Because this is so crazy.
And this is why I'm going to go back to who wrote the
right.
script.
True.
Yeah.
Man.
So,
yeah.
Audience. So the idea they put together to cover this up,
and not
this
that
accident.
It's Callie. Callie's like always the mastermind.
Okay. Callie, to cover this up,
Satan.
She, yeah.
Satan.
Yeah, that's right. She can't even freaking spell Satan.
I know.
And
right.
She comes up with this idea,
uh-huh.
And there's like this pause. We're gonna make it seem like he raped you,
or he was trying to.
Trying to rape.
So,
you.
So okay, we're gonna fess up.
I almost side kicked my TV.
Oh, I know.
Like
a
roundhouse kick. I was like, are you effing kidding me?
I know. So first she's like, look, we're going to have to fess up that we broke in, but it's going to look like we have to then like make something horrible happen so that they don't care that we broke in. So, okay. They play in the, and like they kind of, the movie shows everything kind of playing out the way that it did kind of in a, like a dream scenario. They're like showing you all the clips of them coming into the house, and she's saying, we came in, we did what we did, we had a good time, we were upstairs when we heard this guy come in, and then we got scared, and as we were running he accosted you at the, you know, and they're kind of showing us this, these fake scenes, and they're showing this guy like kind of pushing into Holly, and then she pushes him and knocks him down the stairs, and so they're like, we'll just say he found an opportunity and said, oh well, I caught you girls in this house, so therefore I'm gonna rape you. Like,
oh my.
And then so they're like, well, who's going to be the one that, you know, has to tell the story from the, you know, as being the victim? So that's when Scrabble comes in. They were like, all of a sudden they're like downstairs with the bag of letters in their hand, and they're like, what, closest one to the letter A is the victim. And so, of course, Callie pulls first, and she grabs the letter Y. And then Mel grabs next, and she grabs the letter R. And then guess what? Oh, Holly grabs the letter A, of course. So Holly is – and Holly, by the way, when
that
Callie –
that doesn't make any sense, by the way. Like,
well, it did, because it was – when Callie was, you know, putting this idea out, neither one of the girls liked it. Both of them just wanted to call the cops.
I mean, like, it's closer to the A, right? It's just that happens that she pulled
the A. I know. It should have been like
C. It could have been like C, right. Yeah, or B or whatever.
Look, it's you know, it's a movie full of obvious things, I guess, or maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, Mel and Holly, they don't want to do this. They want to call the cops. And Callie's like, this is, I think, what you were trying to allude to earlier, where she's like, our lives are ahead of us. And if we take, you know, if we go down for this, like, that's the end of you. You're, what did she say? Like, you're going to get, like, fail out of college, or you're going to have to get out of college. Mel goes, I'll get kicked out of law school and my mom will kill herself.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, really? And then she was like, right. So that can't happen. Callie was like, this cannot happen. So that's why we have to do this. And she kind of gets the girls to say, okay, grudgingly. I always say that wrong. Anyway, so Holly says yes, okay, fine. So this is when you kind of don't know what's going to happen next, but they're setting the crime up, right? This crime of this guy that's at the bottom of the stairs. So at first they're like, okay, well,
and it is so ridiculous.
Yeah, and Callie pulls
some hair out from Hallie.
Callie pulls Holly's hair out. Right. Yeah. Holly's and then hair. They're like, you should pull your shirt. Of course, this actress, who, by the way, was the only one I recognized from the VHS. Yeah. When the movie first started, I was like, oh, this is the chick who's like so small and she's got really big boobs. I'm sure they're going to come into play at some time in the movie. And I was right. So at some point.
Note to self, watch VHS again.
So she's like, you need to pull your shirt open. And so she's like, Holly's kind of pulling her shirt open a little bit. And then Callie just goes over and just rips it. And she's like, oh, God, Callie. And then her boobs are, you know, nice and there. And then she's like, what?
You didn't show.
Well, I mean, like a lot of cleavage. It was just like, you know, the top of her shirt ripped open to expose the tops of her breasts and her bra.
We have to explain. This is another ridiculous.
And then they go, well, he also would have scratched at you when he did this. And, you know, the more the evidence, the better. So he's got to have some skin under his nails. So they put some skin. Callie literally takes his hand and scratches Holly's chest until the point where it's like bleeding. And then they all go, that looks good. It looks good. Or Callie anyway.
These idiots think they're like going to get.
Right.
They're gonna fool like detectives and like forensics experts.
And Mel's in law school. Like, why is she not fucking speaking up and being the voice of reason?
They're like, they'll never know these
so
damn
stupid
pole dunk cut, like whatever town cops.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah. Oh, look, there's hair in the hand and skin in the fingernails. Yeah, yeah. So like, okay, so anyway, then they're like, okay, last thing.
While Mr. Chow was like, and his family is off. On this vacation.
Mr. Chow. Right. So she goes, Callie goes, are you ready? And I thought like they were going to make the phone call, right? But no, when she asked Holly, are you ready? It was Holly walking into the hallway where the body is laying at the bottom of the stairs. She pulls down her jeans. She pulls down her underpants.
For a second. Just a half second. You know what I thought she was going to do?
Pee.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what was happening.
Yeah, me neither.
I was like, oh, dear God, is she about to, like, pull his penis out? Like, I literally thought
she was
going to
sit on him.
Yeah. I was freaking out. I was like, this is horrifying right now. Like, there's no way a girl would do that. Ugh. And so, P.S.,
this is
what actually happens isn't much better, but it still would never, ever fucking happen. There's no way. So what does she do? She fucking grabs. So Holly's by herself. She pulls her pants down.
Quote, unquote, dead man's hand.
Dead man's hand. Takes his fingers and shoves them up inside of her.
And then pulls it out to have,
and
I
the
guess,
camera's
DNA.
Just watching like her just, face as this is happening, she's squatting.
She's about to throw up, remember?
And then all of a sudden she pulls up her pants and walks away. And when she walks away, the camera stays where it's at. And what do we see? But the fucking guy's eyes are open. And I went like this. Ew.
That is she has an amazing vagina. It brings
it
dead
brought
people.
Him back
that's,
to life.
That's
the
real story
thing.
That Holly's vagina brings dead people to life. And I was like, this is the greatest movie ever. What's going on?
And then
it just never goes there.
So I'm like, oh God, what is this guy? Like, has he been playing dead the whole time? But no, because like we saw his neck. His neck was fucked up. Like it was like bone sticking out
so
of it.
So disrespectful to the viewer. It's just
okay. So anyway, they go into the kitchen and they start to prepare to make the phone call. Yeah. And this was killing me. They were all like, okay, let's get ready. So they start to try to act and they're like, they're all kind of standing around the kitchen island and they're God. Like, and then he grabbed her and like, and they all were talking at the same time. And then they're like, okay, let's.
I had no idea what they're doing.
It's basically
us.
Like us right before we hit record. Yeah. Like, so anyway, they go to hit 911 when they all of a sudden start hearing dude talking and they're like, what the fuck is that? So they run out and Arthur,
he talked?
Yeah.
They just heard something. Oh, okay.
No. He's like calling for them. And so they go out and he's like, my name's Arthur. So here we go. We got Arthur here. And the girls are stunned. And then Callie looks at Holly like, dude, you just said you did what you did. Did you really do it? Like that was her question. And she goes, I did. And she goes, how did you not know he was still alive? And she was like, I wasn't looking at him. Like, I didn't know. And so he's like, what did you just do with my hand? Oh, I was so uncomfortable. And then he's like, what is happening here? And he's like, please call an ambulance. Like, please. Yeah. And
what
they just stand there.
About? Remember he goes,
what were you whispering about? Yeah. And they're all just standing there staring at him dumbfounded. And at this moment in time, look, any fucking human being should have just called the cops. Like, save his life, whatever. So he's got some hair in his hand. Nobody's going to find it when they will come and look at his neck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So instead, Callie just kind of like breaks bad with him and goes, well, who are you? And he's like, I'm the groundskeeper. I come and take care of the house while, you know, the chows are away. Okay, you said it. I didn't. Yeah. And all of a sudden, Callie's like, fuck, you can see it in her face. She's just like, shit. So they all go and they're like, can you excuse me a minute? And they walk away. And then Holly kind of lingers and looks at him. And I'm like, yeah, bitch, I know what you're thinking right now.
Yeah.
Ew. So they go back in the kitchen and they start talking about what to do. And, you know, as I said earlier.
But like, the audience are already at this point, mm-hmm. like two steps ahead of the characters, right? Because we know where it's going. This is why I say it's a bad storytelling.
We're already ahead of them. We know they're not going to call it.
Yeah.
Dogs. Yeah.
We know that eventually Callie's probably going to do what she's going to do, what she's doing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we can just go there. So basically, long story short, they go back and forth. And Callie's like, we just have to kill this guy. Yeah. Like, now we already thought he was dead. We already prepared this whole story. You got your scratches. You know, he's got your vagina on his fingers. Like, let's do this thing. And they're like, no, like, this is our moment. Out. So they take a vote and they vote against Callie and Mel and Holly. They're like, no, we're gonna call the cops. And so Callie's like, fine, I'll go grab my phone. And what does she do? Yeah. The two of them are talking, and this is when I said
they're relieved, right?
Mel and Holly are so relieved, and they're like, good, if we had just stayed at home.
Of course
tonight,
the audience is like, give me a effing break.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. And this is when I said, like, this is when they brought up, like, and Mel, your dad's so nice and he always wears those sunglasses. And I was like, oh my god. Okay, could you not have had a better conversation? So all of a sudden they hear a phone ringing and they look across the kitchen and it's Callie's phone ringing. So they know that bitch didn't go get her phone. She went to go kill a bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. So hold up. We forgot one little thing. At the point that they were trying to figure out what to do, Ben rings the doorbell. I just remembered. Whoops, because remember, Ben was on his way over.
This is after, right?
No, so Ben was still at the bottom. I'm sorry, Arthur was still at the bottom of the stairwell. And then they were like, fuck, grab the body quick. And so they moved him into the study, right? And
that's right.
And Holly's like, okay, I'll go answer the door. And Callie's like, don't. Because you look all disheveled. You know, you got fucking missing hair and scratches and your titties are hanging out. So, like, no. And so she's like, go hide in the bathroom and I'll take care of him. And so kind of that touch of, like, nasty bitch towards your friend's boyfriend came out again. She answered the door and she's like, Ben, you know what? You're just going to need to go home. We know what you did.
I was like, what
the
hell?
Like, you cheated on... She was trying to think of a quick way to get him to go. And Ben was just like,
and that
what?
Is
like,
not...
Yeah, but that's not plausible, right? It was just stupid. So he's like, what the fuck? Like, I just drove 45 minutes to get here. Let me in. And he pushes past her and he's trying to find Holly. And of course, they shut the Arthur guy in the study and shut the bedroom door. And they shoved, I think, like a cloth in his mouth, right?
So, like, when he shoved him, you know, yeah, like Callie out of the way and into the house. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. Cause
yeah,
like I was sort of frustrated. I was like, okay, now there is a character who's like, I want to know what the hell is going on. Like
right.
taking charge and whatever. And I was like, okay. But then, go ahead.
So like, he goes and he's trying to find Holly and he's just talking to her outside the door. And all she wants to do is open the door and like hug him or love him because he's like, I love you so much. Yeah. I'm going to love you forever. I would never do that to you. And she's like, if you love me, please just go. So he's like, fine, I'll leave.
Yeah.
Right. So she, no, she was really upset. I mean, look, her and Mel are scarred from this situation.
No, I'm talking about faking. Like, she plays along, right?
She
like,
does, but I think she's like, really fucking she's sad.
Like, but she was, no, but she's like, you know what you did, and you know, but then you cheated on me. And yeah, he's like, what the hell are you talking about?
I don't know if she said it so much as, so, like, she just kind of was just like, you should just go.
No, because
if you let me just go.
He asks us, remember he asked her a question, like, what is this thing about me cheating on you?
He
know
goes,
I
would never
do
it. And she just starts crying. I think she thinks like, God, I'm fucking my relationship up with him right now, God. And I can't though. So he leaves.
So this is what I'm saying. Like, so that,
it
how long was that?
It could have played into a more interesting scenario, though.
Or like him coming in, pushing him away to coming in, did nothing because eventually he leaves anyway.
That's what I'm saying. He leaves at this point, and that just
as a waste like, of like 5 minutes.
That's my point.
Yeah,
something much more interesting could have happened.
It was so frustrating. I was like,
I know he could have found the body, and then like Callie opened up a can of whoop ass on him,
or
right?
that he was going to come back, or what? None of that.
Yeah, right? No, it's totally random and stupid. And as a matter of fact, once we get to the end, remind me again why this is so stupid to just have him come here in the
All
night.
The men were victims in this, right? It's weird.
Well, no,
not victims, but they're like. They're like the. I guess what I'm saying is they're like. What do you call it? They're just. What's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
They're either victims or they're just kind of like side characters that like. I don't know.
Okay.
I can't. I'm thinking of a term, a movie term.
Supporting characters?
No.
I don't know.
I can't.
All right, let's keep moving on. All right. I'm just kidding. So basically now that's when they go out in the kitchen and they're like, okay, we should kill him. Sorry. I know we backtracked, but now this is when Callie goes, I'm going to go get my phone. And then, Mel and Holly are so relieved to your point. And then they're like,
the phone
oh
rings,
shit,
yeah.
we got that. She lied to us. So they run and the study door is locked. And we see on the inside of the door, Callie is like, going bonkers with a pillow over Arthur's face. Now, just so you know, listeners, Arthur has now told us he's a nice guy. He's got a family. He's got kids. He's like, all you have to do is call the cops. I won't tell a word. I promise. Like, I don't care why you were here. So he's we care most about Arthur now. We care nothing about these girls almost. We care more about Arthur. And Callie, cold-hearted bitch she is, takes a pillow to his face and is really like just she's ready to kill him. And there's like no remorse, which that's what I'm saying. I just don't believe it. I just do not believe that anybody like her would do that. You know, young girl, just there's no fucking way. So she kills him. And Holly and Mel break into the door. Or well, Callie opens the door.
We left out something else again.
What? What do we do?
When he tells that, you know, I'm a nice guy. I have a family. You know, I just want to, like, if you let me, I won't say anything. And he tells this to Holly, remember? Like, they're just alone in the room together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When Ben comes to the door.
Yeah, and this is when he, like, he grabs the tassels off of a mat. What do you call it?
The table.
And he pulls the two glasses down.
Yeah,
and he breaks
with his
them.
Teeth.
Yeah.
Because we should have said he's paralyzed, so the only thing he can do is move his tongue and his mouth. So he's trying. So when they're all talking to Ben and Holly's in the bathroom and Ben's leaving, he tries to pull something down with his mouth to make noise, and he does. And so you're right. Like when Callie comes in, she's like, "You're look at him. We can't trust him." And I was like, "Are you? Of course he's gonna try to make noise. You bitches are trying to fucking kill him and drag him around. Yeah. He's paralyzed." Guys, like fuck
yeah
I thought he was gonna like kill himself when
but this is important because comes back again. The glasses comes back again. That's why it's
okay,
important.
Sure. So there's broken glass.
Yeah.
And all right. So as soon as Callie opens the door after killing Arthur, Mel and Holly are like, I can't believe you just did that. And Holly just smacks the shit out of Callie.
Yeah.
And then
she knocks her
Well, she smacks her first. And then Callie looks at her and she's just like, I had to do what I had to do. Like, you're welcome, basically. Like, now it's done. And now we can go back and call the cops and do everything we were going to do. And Holly's like, I wasn't okay with this. We voted against you. And then, like, a fucking rage fight, girl fight breaks out between Holly and Callie. And so Callie hits Holly over the head like real hard, and she's on top of her at this point.
Yeah,
and
she slams her head against the ground, and then she screams in her face.
Like, she's like,
I was like, I know. What?
So weird. So it was like, all my rage against you is a, I don't know, your best friend is coming out.
But at this point, Holly's knocked out, right?
Holly's knocked out.
Like, she doesn't, like...
She Frankensteined.
No, yeah. And she doesn't, like, see Callie screaming in her face.
No, of course
not.
She's out. Yeah. Okay. So now, we're back in the kitchen, and it's just Callie and Mel, and we now see, like, Mel is always the person that's just going to... She's always going to be the last to vote, and she's always going to go with, like, whatever she thinks somebody wants her to do. And so she's the weakest link for sure, and doesn't have a fucking backbone. And Callie's like, look. And so now the movie's doing the same thing where it's showing us a fake scenario with scenes and clips as Callie's walking us through, and she's just telling Mel how it's going to go. So same story as before. We got here. We're having fun. Guy breaks in. He tries to attack her. And then she's like, I come into the, but instead of now at the top of the stairs, it happens in the study, and he's trying to rape her, and me as her best friend, we come in, and he hits her just at the time that I just go crazy on him and beat his face in.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, like, Holly's dead, but we killed Arthur and now we're okay. And I was like, what the? This bitch is just jumping straight to, I'm going to kill Holly? I could not even stand this part. So yes, they open up the door, and you're right, the glass was important because Holly, like, after we hear Callie running through this new scenario with Mel, we see Holly wakes up, comes to, she's tied up. And she grabs a little piece of the glass and she starts like cutting the ties behind her.
Yeah.
And the second that the girls come into the room, Callie's like, I'm sorry, Holly, that this had to be this way. And all of a sudden, Holly breaks free.
And tackles her
because she knows that they're coming in to kill her. She knows that Callie's coming in to kill her.
Yeah.
So
tackles
it's
Callie.
Like the same fucking scene, same exact fight, except for it ends up with Holly on top of Callie and then beats her in the head.
And then Holly screams like a man.
Like the same way.
And I was like, and I thought,
I see
first,
why you were asking me, like, was Holly out?
Yeah, because I thought at first I was like, oh, I thought she was mocking her.
And she wasn't. She was out.
And I was like, it was funny. If she was mocking her, then I get it.
Right.
Right.
But she wasn't. You're right. Good catch. Fucking dumb. All right. So she basically goes buck wild on Callie's face and just starts beating the fuck out of her head. Right. And Mel's just standing there like a little duckling, like crying. She's just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then.
How's that going?
Oh, my God. And then Holly looks at Mel with like the bloody thing in her hand and she goes, it's OK now. And she goes over to her and hugs her. And she's like, I had to do this. You know, she was going to kill me. She was the bad one here. And then she's like, okay, this is how it's going to go. So they're like, okay, like, whole thing.
God,
and then he was going to, and she goes, but look, we're the only ones that know how bad of a person Callie was. So we can spin the story however we want. And they're like, so this is how it's going to go. And it's like, he was trying to rape me. And then Callie came in and tried to save me, but not before Arthur beat her in the head. And when she fell to the ground, I grabbed the, you know, thing and I beat him in the head. And so she died trying to save her best friend's life. And I was like, okay. So then they go in the kitchen and they do that thing again where they're prepping for the phone call and the two of them are like, okay, are we ready? Let's call 911. And then they go and they sit in the hallway and wait for the cops to get there. And they got blood all over their fucking face because they've been bludgeoning Arthur's face and Callie's face.
And they show it. They flash it.
And they show it. Yeah. And then the cops come and get them. And they wrap blankets around them. And all we hear now is a nice, sweet Christmas song. Because don't forget, it takes place on Christmas Eve. Oh, at some point it became actually Christmas Eve. And they were like, it's actually Christmas Eve now.
Then they were like, it's God's birthday.
It's God's birthday.
Happy birthday, God. Yeah. I was like, go kill yourselves right now. Into the light. Just jump. So stupid.
So the movie ends with the two girls sitting on the front porch and a cop interrogating Mel, and Holly's just staring straight ahead.
And yeah,
and
she's sort of dazed, which is funny because that's a fake daze, right?
Is it a fake daze?
Yeah, because
I don't think it's a fake daze.
Yeah, it's that look that you see in movies where a girl has gone through a trauma, like
that's
a
what I'm
killer,
saying. I don't think it's fake. That, it's you know, this was traumatic as shit.
No, but you know, but at the end they were conscious enough, right?
Yeah.
Focused enough to you know, devise a story around this fake story. So I mean, they're not like traumatized.
Oh, Jesus. I disagree. I mean, Mel was seriously fucked up the whole time. I think Holly
Mel was setting in. Okay, I agree. Mel was.
But Holly also stuck a fake dead guy's hand up her vagina. Okay. She then had to murder her best friend who was about to murder her. I think she's traumatized. I think both of them are literally going to live a life of trauma. Yeah. But my point is, all right, so Ben came by. And like, what in the fuck? Isn't he going to be like, oh yeah, I came by at like just 20 minutes before like the shit hit the fan? I don't know, the whole thing. So anyway, the movie ends and it makes it seem like these two girls are going to get away with murder.
Yeah.
Two murders. Yeah. Well, one murder, really. Callie did the first one, but yeah.
Well, manslaughter for the...
Yeah, true. Yeah. They're accomplices for sure. So
that's how it ends. And that's... Body.
That's body.
And that was really, really bad.
And so my brain...
This was even worse than last one.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't like the last one. I liked the last one. This one, you know, like I said at the beginning, I've seen this done before where something bad happens and then the group decides to try to cover something up and then it just escalates and gets worse and worse from there. There's a few that my brain went to at the end of this. It was Donkey Punch, which I actually really... I'm ashamed that I like. That was a much better version of this.
I can't make fun of you because then there was...
You should watch it. Yeah. It was a much better version of this. There were a lot more deaths in it. Like, it escalated, like, in a, I guess, more plausible way, if you will.
Yeah.
And then Very Bad Things. Have you seen that?
No.
Like, Christian Slater. I think, like, all guys go to a bachelor party and they get a...
Peter Berg's in it.
I can't remember, but they get like a prostitute or a stripper or whatever, and she winds up dead.
It's
like
an old movie. It's an older movie.
Yeah, it's
right?
about old. Yeah, it's a little older. And then The Loft, which, have you seen that?
These are like...
I know.
There's a theme.
There is a theme. Yeah. And so The Loft, it's like a bunch of dudes get a bachelor pad, and then a girl winds up dead in one. It's like a bachelor pad. They're all married, but they get a bachelor pad that their wives or significant others don't know about so that they can go and have sex with random chicks. And then one woman is like dead, but like locked from the inside, and then they all turn on each other. So all of these movies were like someone winds up dead, and everybody is trying to like cover the shit up. I always just like it. It makes me want to go find somebody in real life. Like, I want to find real stories where the shit actually happens because I just don't believe it. Like, I believe that people try to cover shit up all the time. But like, if somebody actually wasn't fully dead, like in this movie, and you have an opportunity to call the police, at the risk of you being found out that you broke in and had a joyride with a golf cart, like why would you not call the ambulance?
This sort of eye rolling moment, like it's a movie and we're sitting there sort of picking it apart, comparing it to like logically what would happen, rational, you know, like what I would do, but we do that, right?
That's what we do.
Yeah. But it knowing like it's almost impossible to get away with a break-in and murder.
Yeah.
You know, three college girls aren't going to...
Right. That's the other thing.
You know?
These girls...
improv their way out. Freaking...
And Callie, who can't fucking spell.
Yeah.
She's the one...
Mastermind.
Right.
Yeah, I can't swallow that.
I can't either.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
So, thumbs down.
We don't rating movies.
We don't do numbered ratings. I've already said this.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down. Whatever.
I think the premise was decent. It wasn't anything original, but
no.
It was decent. It was thin.
It was so thin.
But they could have... I think if this was like a 30-minute, 20-minute short film, it
could have
been decent.
Way better.
And if they changed things around, like if he started... inside of the mansion, the film, and the girls are doing what they're doing, whatever, but they're acting sort of weird about it, and then eventually at the end maybe you find out there's a dead guy at the bottom of the stairs, whatever, that was sort of the reveal, you know, and they're trying to like cover it up. That would have been maybe interesting.
Maybe.
Looking at me like, I wouldn't watch that either.
Let's not fix it.
I wouldn't watch that either.
Oh, well.
Could you, how would you do a sequel?
How would I do a sequel?
To Body.
It's got to be about the Chow family.
You just have to up it, right?
No, it's like what happens when they come home and then...
No, but how would Hollywood do it? It's always more... Like more monsters in the sequel, right? Uh-huh. It's always more
supernatural. So
it's
like, something so it's like supernatural.
More bodies. You have to get two people.
Just two bodies. let's
three bodies.
Two bodies. Yeah. There's a franchise here. I can smell it. All right. So that's that, and we're gonna hope that this is just another one of those. That's like, can I call this horror? I mean, there's two dead bodies. You can't even do a, like, what was the best death out of this movie, because they both were pretty much the fucking same, and it was not a horror. This is like another, it's just
a great
thriller.
It's one of those great thriller. Area, yeah.
So can we, for the love of God, since this is a horror
what
podcast.
Say? I mean, does it say?
Yeah, it was classified as horror. Can we, for the crime, drama thriller. Yeah, but whatever. All right, so next movie that we choose is going to be a real horror, okay? Thanks. All right, guys.
Okay.
So last episode I told you guys my first time with my first horror experience and like how I got into the genre. So we ask you to write us at
we actually got an email.
We got a listener mail, and so we ask you to write in what dummy wrote in. Don't call them dummies. So we've got one what? Final scare at gmail.com. Email us your horror experience, your first time with horror, and we're gonna read one right now from Steve. And Steve says,
does Steve have a last name?
I don't know if we're allowed to say last name.
Just say Steve S. From where?
From Maryland. All right.
Is there a town that he hails from?
I don't know how much we give away of people.
Bowie, Maryland. Steve S. from Bowie, Maryland.
It's Crofton.
Oh, is it?
Close.
You're like, I don't know how much he lives in Crofton. This is his address.
He's a web developer. / creative technologist.
And drawer.
Okay, so he might be our friend.
Okay, so what?
Thanks, listener.
I guess
listener Steve says.
Yeah.
My first horror movie experience was when I went over to my friend's house after school. His parents weren't home, and he wanted to watch The Exorcist, since they wouldn't let him.
Good choice.
I left to get one of those frozen push pops from the fridge. I believe it was Flintstones themed and orange flavored. Fuck yes, I remember those.
You know what they say when it's like, he remembers detail, right?
What?
Because... I'll tell you later.
Okay. Yeah. And when I got back, the scene where the little girl's head was spinning around was playing. I tried to act tough, but it scared me to death. Right around then, part of the push pop thing snapped out of the tube and got lodged in my throat. I literally have not read this yet.
Wait.
Oh my God.
The tube?
And he says, and I was choking to death on it, basically. Steve.
Oh, the ice cream.
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, got choked.
My friend was so engrossed in the movie that he didn't notice, and I had to wait until it melted enough to go down my throat to breathe again. Holy shit. I was like purposefully trying to not read it so I'd be surprised,
he
and I am.
His breath.
Steve.
Long enough for that thing to fall.
The ice cream had to melt so he didn't die. Oh my God.
That's
again, we started
right
this saying we're glad we're both alive to do this podcast. Steve, we are glad you're alive to write us some listener mail.
I'm going to send him a Flintstones pop in the mail.
Do they still sell them?
We should, no, as a gift. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you call in and you win, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
We should send them that.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
So that was a good one, Steve. I think The Exorcist was definitely a lot of people's first horror movies. It's definitely a solid one to start with.
It's a solid one to start with. That's actually a really good one.
And honestly, I think if you
that
ask...
That would scare the crap out of me if I was, you know, if I saw that.
Well, and if you're choking to death while a little girl's head is spinning around and spewing at the mouth and saying things like, you cunting whore, you know, that's a pretty scary scene.
Easy on the language.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
All right. So we'll pick another one from the listener mail. Maybe it'll be a friend. Maybe it'll be not a friend.
A random.
So please write us. Again, that's onefinalscare@gmail.com. Check us out on Instagram and Facebook. We will be posting photos of mainly each other while we're doing our podcast, but maybe we'll get more creative as we go along. Anyway, hope you enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, that's it for now, right? Yeah.
And check us out next week.
Okay. This is Minky signing off.
And this is Tracy.
Bye.
Bye.